Blog Talk Radio.
It's Saturday, July 30th, 2016, and this is show number 57.
The age of delusion is here. The great falling away has begun. False teachers and false gospels are everywhere. The angel of light has become so visible in today's apostate church that even false Bibles have made their way into mainstream Christianity. The Bible warns that on Judgment Day, Jesus will say to the many, "I never knew you." This program exists to make sure that when Jesus says that, not talking to you.
God Thoughts Radio is on the air. I'm Pastor Brad, and today I want to talk about the awesome power of words. The awesome power of words. Genesis 1, beginning with verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. And then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning. One day. Then God said, do you realize that God spoke the worlds into existence? The power of God's word is eternal. It's immeasurable. The amazing power of the word of God. Think about it. Jesus used words to heal, right? Be healed. And they were healed. He used words to cast out demons. Be gone. And Jesus used words to forgive sin. Your sins have been forgiven. Go and sin no more. You know, I've been meditating on this topic for a while now, and I went to Genesis 3:1, and I realized something recently. I want to share it with you. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Indeed has God said," and then he goes on, that is the devil, the serpent, he goes on to question what God said. Do you realize that it was words that Satan used to bring temptation into Adam and Eve's life? The power of words, the awesome power of words, can bring about temptation. And it was at this very point, the point of words, that the devil questioned God's integrity, his veracity, his truthfulness. Indeed has God said. It was Satan that brought into question for the very first time whether or not God meant what he said and said what he meant. Let's clarify something about the God of the Bible. It says something, it's a done deal. In fact, God says of himself in his word, 1 Samuel 15:29, as an example, "The glory of Israel will not lie or change his mind, for he is not a man, but he should change his mind." You see, God is perfect in all of his ways. And when God's word goes forth, Isaiah 55 says, it does not return void without accomplishing the purpose that was set for it. This whole concept of questioning God and questioning what God has said is from the devil. As we're going to see, it is pure evil. It emanates from evil. And you know, along those lines, let me model something for you. You may at the outset wonder, why did I insert this here? And many of you are going to question it completely, but I'm going to circle back around to the significance of it. But there's a horrific fallacy in the body of Christ today and at the world of large, and that is the belief that the God of the Bible is the same as the Allah of the Quran. The belief that the God of Christianity is the God of Islam. That's so far removed from the truth, it's unbelievable. There are many different examples of this, but I want to stick with this power of words. You see, the God of Christianity can't lie. He can't change his mind. But the Allah of the Quran changes his mind consistently. He says many contradictory, he's made many contradictory statements in the Quran. In fact, so much so that the scholars of Islam have developed a law regarding this. They call it the law of abrogation, wherein when you find a contradiction where God said one thing before and he says a new thing now, whatever was spoken of most recently, that's what you go with. You see, that couldn't be more opposite. Just one example of many, but let me move on. why is this, what does this have to do with us, and practically what God has to say and who he is with regard to his words? How does it apply to us? How does it break down? Well, let me give you some Bible verses on that. Let me take you first to a couple of Old Testament references. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 4 through 5 says the following. When you make a vow to God, do not be late in paying it, for he takes no delight in fools. Pay what you vow. Better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. You see, God takes words very, very seriously. In fact, we're going to be mining the depths of his word to find out just how serious he is about our words. But here we see a couple of things. The person who flippantly makes a vow to God, the Bible considers him a fool. It's a very foolish thing to do, and I'll explain why here in a moment. God says it's better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. And you know, we have degraded greatly as a country and as a world at large. You know, have you ever heard the phrase, I give you my word? Well, that used to mean something. It means nothing nowadays. We used to place our hands on the Bible and swear in to a court trial situation. It means nothing anymore. Why? Why is this so significant to God? What is the big deal about words? Well, James 5:12, now I'm in the New Testament, New Covenant here. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, that but let your yes be yes and your no, no, so that you may not fall under judgment. Wow. This is a big deal to God. He says that if we don't say what we mean and mean what we say, we're in danger of falling under judgment. What does that mean practically? Well, Jesus said something very significant, very important, very sobering. In Matthew 12, 36 through 37, he said, I tell you, every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. That's the judgment that James chapter 5 was talking about. Jesus says, isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing that God keeps a record of our words? And isn't it amazing that Jesus himself said that he's going to hold us accountable for the things that we say? I tell you that every careless word, notice it's not every word that we speak, but every careless word, every word spoken without care, we shall give an accounting for in the day of judgment, and those words will either justify us or condemn us. Earlier on, Jesus said, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. The mouth, what the words that are spoken are a reflection of the inner man. And the reason why this is such a big deal, why words are so significant to Jesus and should be significant to us, is because of the amazing supernatural power that God has built into words. In fact, one of the classic passages of the New Testament on the power of words is taken from James chapter 3, and I'm going to go ahead and read verses 1 through 10 with some commentary along the way. It says, let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. A stricter judgment, why? Because teachers are in a position of great influence because of their words, and those of us who willingly take on the position of teacher will have a stricter judgment than those who do not. And then it goes on to say, we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man. And that word perfect, it really doesn't mean perfect the way we understand it, not without sin or spot or blemish, but complete, mature. If anyone doesn't stumble in what he says, he is a mature man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put the bits into the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. And again, I'm reading from James 3, now I'm at verse 4. Look at the ships also. Though they're so great, driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. And so God likens the power of the tongue to a bit in the horse's mouth. He likens it to a very small rudder of a great ship. And I want to suggest to you that the kingdom of God, as it applies here, is like a nuclear bomb that once it goes off, it has immediate impact for sure, but it continues to impact and influence for years and decades and even generations to come. Verse 5 continues, "See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body, sets on fire the course of our life, and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by the human race, but no one can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it," follow me carefully here, "with it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be this way." Did you hear that? From the same mouth comes both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. In other words, our mouths, our words, are supposed to be sources of blessing. And by the way, when you study biblically the words blessing and cursing, these are literal manifest events. They are actual realities. With our words, we have the power. Track with me here. Listen carefully. With our words, we have the power to create. We have the power to create something that was not there. Where do I get that? Well, Ephesians 4:19, or rather 4:29, says this: "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification." You know what that word edification means? It means to build up. We have the amazing power to create and to build with the words that we speak. And yet the reverse is true: power to curse, which is another way of saying to tear down, to destroy. That's why I entitled this broadcast, "The Awesome Power of Words." You know, I was a youth pastor for 7 years, and I wish I didn't have so many examples of young girls who grow up to be women and even into older age, and they felt that they were ugly. No matter how pretty they may have been, they always believed they were ugly. Why? Because a word was spoken over them when they were young by someone they respected. All too often it was a dad. And it's a heartbreaking thing, whether joking or serious, for a father to speak that kind of a curse over a young girl, and it influences them the rest of their lives for the negative. And yet, the reverse is true again. The awesome power of words to build up. In fact, Hebrews 3:12-13 makes an amazing statement. "Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it's still called a day, lest we be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." We have the power with our words to be a source of life, to be a source of blessing, to be a source of creation, upbuilding, encouragement, giving courage. Did you see that? I'll read it again. "Encourage one another day after day, as long as it's still called a day, lest you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." Oh, my goodness. Let me speak life to you, my friend. Dear listener, it is God's will for you to be a source of edification for others. It is God's will for you to be a source of encouragement to others. And let me tell you what a big deal that is, what a very big deal that is. I just received an email from somebody referencing something that happened 35 years ago that, honestly, I didn't even remember. And yet the words that were spoken at that time were such a blessing that he felt led to reconnect with me, track me down on Google, and reconnect with me. It was such a blessing to me 35 years later, because apparently, I didn't even remember it, but apparently it was such a blessing to him 35 years ago. And this is one of the reasons. This is one of the reasons why Proverbs 3:27-28 is so very important. And it says, "Do not withhold good to those from whom it is due when it's within your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, 'Go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it,' if you've got it with you today." Will you commit with me today to be a downloader of all good? Will you do that with me? Would you join me in that? It'll change the world. I'm telling you, it'll change the world. All too often in this world that is basically run by the devil, we download all the negative, don't we? The world beats us up pretty badly, doesn't it? We're absolutely going to hear the negatives, but it's far too rare that we run into people who are committed to downloading all good. And I want to tell you that you can change the world. You can change your world if you'll just commit along with me to not withhold good from people, to not hold back on it. And by the way, when you have good for people, when God gives you a word of encouragement, when he gives you a word of edification, it's so critical that you not withhold it now or think I'll give it to them later, because now is the moment of power. Now is the moment of blessing. Now is the time that God has given it to you to give to them, because it will be so very, very meaningful. You know, power of words. The Old Testament character Jeremiah, he was given a role to play. He was given a role by God to fulfill as his spokesman. And I want to read to you what God told him in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 7. God said to Jeremiah, "All that I command you, you shall speak." And then he said to Jeremiah, "Behold, I put my words in your mouth to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overflow, to overthrow, to build and to plant." Isn't that interesting? We're always supposed to encourage. We're always supposed to edify. And yet, God told his spokesman, Jeremiah, that he had put his words, God's words, in his mouth to do two things, both to build and to plant, as well as to destroy and to overflow. How does that fit in with edification? Well, let me tell you what has been lost in the body of Christ. I referenced an example of this earlier. Ephesians 5:11 tells us to not only not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but to rather instead expose them. We are supposed to expose the deeds of darkness. And one of the deeds of darkness in our world today is confusion over the difference between the God of Islam and the God of Christianity. The Bible tells me that out of love I should expose that horrific fallacy. My goodness, just a little bit more on that. The God of the Bible is Jesus Christ. Followers of Jesus Christ are called Christians. The God of the Quran says that Christians are liars. Come on. God is not going to say of himself that all of his followers are liars. Where do I get that? I'm reading from the Quran right now. Surah, that's chapter 37, verse 151 and verse 152. "Now surely it is of their own lie that they say," and they're referencing Christians, "Allah has begotten, and truly they are liars." Come on now. This is the reason why we've got to not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, or rather expose them. And I pray that doesn't make you uncomfortable. That's the problem with the world. Christians have fallen asleep. Christians have shut their mouths, and evil has flourished. This phrase, evil flourishes because good men do nothing, I don't buy that anymore. Because if you do nothing, you're no longer good. God has called you to be like himself, to be like Jesus, and his yes is yes, and his no is no. And anything beyond this is evil. That's what Jesus said. Stop being a wimp. Stop being a lukewarm Christian that Jesus is going to spit out of his mouth on Judgment Day. And rise up, church, and start being a source of edification. Start being a source of encouragement, which is another way of saying being a source of truth. And stand up for what you believe and speak the truth in love and love the truth that you speak. My goodness. You know, a final thought before I close. And this, too, is the amazing power of the God that we serve, the God of mercy, the God of grace, and the God of forgiveness. I'll put it this way. Oh, my goodness. I have a person in my life right now. I caught wind of this indirectly, but they've been cursing me for years. So they think they've been cursing me for years. How so? Well, because I've spoken out against Benny Hinn and the false prophet that he is. And, you know, by the way, that's not up for grabs. If you wanted to take a half hour to study that man, you'll draw the same conclusion. It's not that tough. But the fact that I've spoken publicly about that angered this gal. And so she's been cursing me for many years. And what she doesn't realize is I've embraced none of it. None of it as a curse, but all of it God has turned into a blessing. I want to bless you as we close this broadcast today, that even if you've been cursed with words that were spoken over you as a child, or perhaps even recently, words that were spoken that were hurtful to you, maybe words that were spoken to your children that were a source of cursing to you, you know, you have the power not only to not receive that curse as a curse, but God has the power and the ability and the willingness to turn it into a blessing. I'm reading from Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 5, and it's reiterated in Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 2. It says this, "But the Lord your God turned the curse into a blessing for you, because the Lord your God loves you." And I want to tell you something, dear listener. The Lord your God loves you, and it is his will to turn all curses into blessings. In fact, God is so amazing and his power so awesome that God wants to be for you like he was for Joseph. When Joseph said of his brothers who had done evil against him in Genesis 50:20, he said, "As for you, you meant it for evil against me, but God meant it for good to bring about this present result and preserve many people alive." You see, God can turn a curse into something so good that the so good something becomes greater than if the curse had never happened. Did you track with me? That's who God is. That's the awesome power of God that we're talking about. So take great courage, dear one, and I speak words of encouragement to you right now. I want to encourage you to take your curses before the Lord. At the end of this broadcast, I'll close in just a couple of minutes. I want to challenge you. Take the curses that have been spoken over you and take them to the Lord and say, "Lord, I'm done with these curses. I refuse them. I will not accept them any longer. And by faith, Lord, I lay them at the foot of your throne, knowing that you have the power now to take this curse and turn it into a blessing." You see, as long as you hold on to the curse, God can't do anything with it. He can only turn it into a blessing if you give it over to him to do so. Turn your hurts and your heartaches and your sorrows over to him. Turn your desire for revenge and your unforgiveness. Turn your bitterness over to the Lord and allow him to bring the kind of healing and restoration and redemption and deliverance that he wants to. Because you see, the power of words is awesome. The power of words are supernatural. They build, they plant, they destroy, and they overflow. And this is the legacy that man who has been made in the likeness of God lives out on a day-to-day and moment-by-moment basis. You know, I'm going to pray for those of you that are listening that have curses that you want to be broken. They can be broken in a moment of time if you're willing to turn them over to the Lord and repent of your will and hanging on to them. Father, I thank you for today's opportunity to mine the depths of your word, and to mine the depths of your love, and to be reminded of the awesome power of words. They have the ability to create, they have the ability to tear down. Father, for those that are listening today who have been torn down, who have been badly damaged by words that were embraced and therefore turned into a curse, they became a curse for them, we say no longer, Lord. By the power of your kindness that leads us to repentance, we lay aside now all bitterness, all unforgiveness, all negativity. We lay those curses at the foot of your throne now, and by your grace we leave them there. And we say yes, Lord, to your will. We say yes, Lord, to your way, to turn these curses into blessings. And lest there be no doubt, to turn them better than if the curse had never occurred. That's how big you are. That's how big you were for Joseph. That's how big you've been for me. And that's how big you are to all who would receive it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us today at God Thoughts Radio. For more information about Pastor Brad and God Thoughts, go to GodThoughtsGlobal.com, where you'll also find archives from all of our past shows. Pastor Brad would love to speak at your church. You can contact him via email at GodThoughtsWired@gmail.com or connect with him on LinkedIn at Dr. Brad Righteous. Until next time, thanks for listening.